Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
The World of Warcraft. A new world awaits.
How many hours a day did you play World of Warcraft?
Like 6 hours, man.
Are you addicted to World of Warcraft?
No way.
I'm Jim Burns. Now, it is very normal for your kids to seek a bit of relief at times from the pressures of life by looking at movies and by playing video games on the internet and cruising the internet. But when those desires begin to consume more and more hours in their day, well, you could be headed for trouble. Now, if your kids are showing the starting signs of media addiction, you'll want to stay with us today on Homeward. Bob Waliszewski of Focus on the Family will be with me once again. We'll be continuing our conversation about giving you as a parent the tools you need to create a media-safe home. So stay with us right here on Homeward. Well, there's no question we live in a media-saturated world. So how do we as parents and grandparents create a media-safe home? Today on the Homeward Broadcast, part two of Dr. Jim Burns' conversation with Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family. You may not recognize the name, but Bob has been helping you pick movies to go see for over 20 years. Bob is the founding editor of Plugged In magazine and now oversees Plugged In Online. More than a million people this month alone will go to Plugged In and get a movie review, and it's kind of become the good housekeeping seal of approval just for movies. Bob studies all sorts of media, especially as it pertains to young people, and today we are privileged to have him here on the Homeward Broadcast. At the end of today's program, a special announcement about a couple of resources that will help you in this area as well. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. A continuing conversation today with Bob Waliszewski, creating a media-safe home. Oh, wouldn't that be great? You know, the media has a powerful influence on our culture, especially with our children. And creating a media-safe home is essential in order to help our kids grow up to become responsible adults. At least that's my opinion. I know it's the opinion of Bob Waliszewski. Great guy, great friend, the director of media and culture for Focus on the Family. He's also the director of Plugged In. It's a great magazine. Plugged In Online is the website that can help you understand culture, movies, media, music, and so much more. He's married to Lisa. The Waliszewskis have two children, and they make their home in Colorado Springs. Welcome to our program.
Jim, once again, it's a privilege to be on the show.
Well, I appreciate so much, and I've learned so much, frankly, from you, from reading the magazine and from also going online and just getting to hang out with you at times. And, you know, we talk a lot about movies, but today more and more, even video gaming is becoming so popular. And, you know, I'm lost on some of this because I'll look at a video game and I'll say, well, this looks innocent. And then I'll hear about another video game that just sounds absolutely horrible. And then we start thinking about addiction issues and things like this. Are you seeing the rise that everybody else seems to be seeing in video gaming? And is it good influence or bad influence?
Well, it's a little bit of both, actually. And here's a surprising statistic. The average video gamer is 29 years of age. So we're trying to help parents here to help their young people. And yet in many homes, it's dad that's probably the biggest consumer. And of course, to be an average of 29, it means that we've got video gamers who are 59 all the way to age four. So it runs the gamut. Certainly, it's a teen situation and a teen problem, but it's also an adult situation.
When you look at these games, let's think about, you know, maybe teens and preteens. What I'm finding is that they get on it pretty innocently, but then they want to go to the next game, and it almost becomes an addiction to them where they do their homework really fast so they can start working on their video game fun, and they're having amazing times. You know, they can get up in the middle of the night, and, you know, all of a sudden they're on this video game. Are you seeing the same thing?
You know, I am. I'll give you a quick story. In fact, I shared it last time we did a broadcast together, but Dr. Dobson was doing a broadcast on video gaming, and to do some research, I located a Christian young man in Colorado Springs and went to the home. I showed up on a Monday. It wasn't a school day because it actually happened to be a holiday Monday. And the first question I asked him was, you played video games yesterday. How much did you play? And he told me it was between 9 and 10 hours. Now, Jim, I don't care if it's reading the Bible. There comes a point where you come up for air, you know, and you actually engage with human beings and have a healthy relationship. But when it's video gaming, it's what addiction. And the day I showed up on Monday, he'd already played, I believe it was like 5 hours of video gaming. I was looking over his shoulder for about the next 2.5 to 3 hours. And when I left, I'm certain that he wasn't done. He was continuing to play. Again, Christian home, Christian parents who deeply care, but somehow just didn't get it. And
yeah, I'd rather have him playing video games than, you know, going out and drinking or carousing with friends or doing all this. So they think it's okay.
Absolutely. And yet I think, and to be very honest, this is a young man who struggles a little bit in his social life. And I'm finding that a common ground, but not just for people who struggle in their social life, but that's definitely a common thread. For him, some of his best friends, if you will, use that in quotation marks, were people that he knows only online. They may live in New Zealand and Australia and play the video games along with him, and they compete against each other. And I don't care if it's Donkey Kong or Pong or football or a racing game that's positive. If you're playing that type of game, the addictiveness of it says no. I think a better thing is to say, for instance, a 30-minute limit or at most an hour limit for most homes where parents say, we cut it off at an hour. The problem is you're going to have to probably help your young person for a while, because once they get in the game, time knows no limits.
Well, you know, and it's not that I've played a whole lot of these games, but I can see the addictive nature. I mean, it's fun. It's, you know, you're talking with somebody from New Zealand, my goodness, whatever it is, you know, yeah, you're involved in. And so again, parents are going to have to be very careful. Even good things can turn negative if it becomes addictive. Let's talk about another negative issue in the culture today. You know, one of the biggest concerns I have today is pornography. I see that 85% at least of kids will accidentally see pornography on the web. And, you know, the web is used now more than even watching television. You obviously would have concerns about pornography. It could be the issue that takes this next generation down. Mm-hmm. What do you say to parents to try to help them guard their kids' hearts and minds and eyes and even bodies from pornography?
I would say, number one, don't skirt the issue. It is hard to talk to our kids about sex and sexual themes and sexuality, but we've got to directly face that. In fact, and I ask my son on a pretty regular basis, and I say, Trevor, tell me again, you still have never gone to a porn website. Is that correct? Yes, Dad, that is correct. You know, I want
good for Trevor, by the way.
Yes, I want to keep him accountable, and right. I want him to know that I could ask that question anytime. And besides, I've also looked at the history of where he's been just to make sure.
Well, exactly. And what you're suggesting, as I would, is that parents do go to the history regularly in terms of the computer. If they don't know how to do it, they need to bring a friend in. It's simple to do and have that friend teach them, or even have their kids teach them.
Well, and there's a rule in our house, and that is Trevor can read any email that comes my way, and he is welcome to check my history, and I can read any of his emails. And we just know that. That's just, and some parents will go, wait a minute, isn't that kind of like getting into your kid's diary? And I remember when I had a diary when I was young, I wouldn't have wanted my parents into it. But you know, it's a different world. Right. And there's nothing really wrong about, especially when you set the rules. This is free. We all look and we all read, and there's, because we're trying to be out in the open, we're trying to honor the Lord. So feel free to read any email that comes to Dad or Mom, or and I'm going to read yours, and I want to be on your MySpace page, and I want to be on Facebook if you got a site, because I want to know what your friends are saying and whatever. And that's the rule in our home.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a great rule, actually, and I agree with that rule. You just mentioned Facebook. You mentioned MySpace. All of a sudden, just here in the 2000s, you know, new phenomenon, social networking.
Yes.
Kids today don't hang out at the mall as much as they hang out at the mall called MySpace or the mall called Facebook. Some parents say, absolutely no. Some parents say, you know what? I'm your friend. I'm going to be your friend on MySpace, Facebook. Help us understand the MySpace, Facebook phenomenon, and then also help us understand what we as parents can do to kind of guard against the kids' hearts again, because there can be some real negative stuff too.
And I'll add YouTube, video site as well to this mix, because the principles I'm about to share go as well. This is not a case of, is it good or is it bad? Can you tell me absolutely no, my kids shouldn't be on that, or should they? It can be a little bit of both. Some of the most awful, some of the most pornographic stuff that I've experienced as a researcher for Focus on the Family, I've experienced on both a YouTube site and MySpace pages. So it can be awful, as you know, Jim. But yet, it's not totally that way. Some kids use their MySpace page as an outreach to their friends. So there's many Christians who use YouTube to share the gospel because they've done some video clips, and they use their Facebook page to share their faith. And sometimes even neutral sites. One of the teachers at the school where my daughter graduated, my son still attends, wears a weird sweater on a regular basis. And so some kids designated a MySpace site to his sweater. And there's all sorts of pictures of his sweater doing different things, if you will. Well, how fun kind of thing. Right. But the bottom line is parents really have to be involved in the process and not just say, well, I'm sure that my son is staying away from the garbage or my daughter is definitely doing the good stuff. Be involved, look over their shoulder, make sure where they're in viewing MySpace or YouTube, if you allow it, is in a public space in the home. But again, I would be part of the process till your comfort level is up.
Well, I think that's great advice, Bob. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to keep on talking about this subject, creating a media safe home.
And one of the things I love about, Jim, about having Bob Waliszewski on the program here, Bob just mentioned MySpace, and I know a lot of parents are listening to us and saying, well, Facebook's the big daddy, right? MySpace is actually still around. It was resold a couple of years ago, and it's been relaunched, and it's gaining in popularity. So is Instagram. So is Tumblr. There are so many different social media outlets for kids. See, that's just an example of how quickly something can turn in the social media world. And we're grateful that Bob has his finger on that pulse. Today here on the Homeward Broadcast, Bob Waliszewski with us talking about creating a media safe home. Bob has written a book on plugged in parenting. You can find a link to that on our website. Also, the Homeward book, Internet Protect Your Kids, helped to protect your kids from the world of internet dangers. It's very generic in terms of how operators work, how predators work, how the back end of internet safety works, and how you as parents can be aware of what's really going on in the cyber world. More of this conversation in just a moment as Homeward continues.
I'm Jim Burns from Homeward, and quite frankly, I'm concerned about the number of kids who think that their lives should be more like the programs they see on what is known as reality TV. Now, here's a sample of the kinds of values they're seeing.
I want you to know, if you ever have trouble getting your pants off, anything, even sports bras, like whatever, I can do it.
John is sort of coming from a more sexual perspective.
Let's get those pants off.
Now, if real life played out like most reality TV shows, kids would have sex for no particular reason other than everybody else is doing it. There would be very few unplanned pregnancies, and hardly anyone would ever marry. Of course, none of this kind of behavior is consistent with biblical values. Talk with your kids about what the media portrays as healthy sexuality, and then discuss what God thinks about it. Become a media literate student of the culture so that you can help your kids gain a better understanding of the world that they really live in. I'm Jim Burns with something to think about from Homeward.com.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Bob Waliszewski with me today. He's the director of media and culture for Focus on the Family. So many times parents will say, I know they have this, you know, this MySpace thing, but I don't really know much about it. What I'm saying is you need to be their friend so you can get on their MySpace yes. page and begin to dialogue with it. Because again, and I'm seeing youth workers in the church who are doing that as well. And it's a way to communicate.
It is.
It's a new world. I mean, dating. I'm not one who has done a whole lot of dating for the last 32 years besides my wife, but I'm amazed at, you know, a new generation of people who actually date with the internet. I mean, they don't date, but they, you know, they get acquainted with people. It's just weird. At first, I thought it was horrible, and now I'm kind of going, well, that's the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. MySpace is the world we're living. It's not going to go back, and so I think as parents, we have to become more and more involved in it. What about the issue with sexual predators on the web? How do we as parents, we all have this fear. It's in our heart. There's a check in our spirit. There are all these sexual predators out there. Is it as much as the media says it is? Is it something that we as parents can do? How do we, in many ways, internet protect our kids?
Well, even if it was just a dozen, it would be way too much.
Right.
And I believe it was MySpace earlier this year had found something like 23,000 sexual predators that they excised that could no longer come online, at least with their current login. All they have to do is be somebody else the next day. And you know, so again, it's that world. And you have to think from a sexual predator's point of view, who is trying to groom young girls to be open to his sexual advances, why not go where they're going and pretend to be someone who loves them and would like to meet them and care for them and groom them. And when, again, think the other side of the coin, some girl who's never been told she's pretty by her father, never been told that she matters and she's loved, and is looking, and she's not very popular, and she doesn't have very many friends, and the, what she does interact is online. And here's some guy who says he's 21 and he cares. And again, this doesn't happen overnight. This is in some of these groomers set them up for months and months and months, knowing they think the prize is maybe 6 months from now. And they're grooming several people at the time. And she's like, he cares for me. So when he sends an email 4 months down the line and says, hey, would you fly out to see me? Or I would like to fly to see you. Or can we meet at Starbucks? Don't tell your parents. Is it possible that some girl's going to go, oh, absolutely. This guy's telling me the truth. And he's not.
No, and this is why we do the Homeward broadcast, for the kind of information you're giving us, because as parents, we've got to become media savvy and we've got to become computer savvy. You know, a lot of parents are, of course, but there are parents still who say, you know, I just don't know this. And I'm saying to parents, if you don't know how to get on the computer and experience what your kids are experiencing together, then you probably should throw your computer, you know, out the door or something. I mean, Truly, it's a scary thing. And yet, all, like you say, all media is not bad.
No.
You know, there's good media, there's bad media, there's amoral media, but it's important for us. It's one of the, I think, one of the issues of the day that parents have to talk about. And our parents probably didn't teach us anything about it. Our parents didn't even talk to us about sex education, let alone, you know, this kind of stuff. Now, you had an incredible experience where in recent years, you had the opportunity to meet with one of the first school shooters. Now, this guy was involved in a Columbine type massacre. In your opinion, what role did movies and media play in him coming to this role that he played of actually being involved in a shooting massacre?
Yeah, it's not just my opinion. I asked him directly. His name is Jamie Rouse, Linville, Tennessee. It's 1995.
He walked Paducah? Into his.
Pardon me?
Is it the Paducah shooting?
No. This was pre-Paducah, even. Okay. Pre-Jonesboro, pre-Columbine, pre-Bethel, Alaska. But Linville, Tennessee, he walked into his high school with a .22 caliber rifle. He began shooting. He killed a teacher, killed a ninth grade student, wounded another teacher who did recover. And he's serving two consecutive life sentences with no chance for parole. So it's not like he's trying to talk some talk thinking I can get out early or whatever. Whatever he told me, he believes. And I asked him, did media play a role? And he's talked about how music, the dark music that he was into, played a significant role. And I said, what about movies? And he had just watched, with his father of all things, Natural Born Killers, that had just come out on video before DVD at that time. And I said, how did that make you feel, Jamie? He said, it made killing seem cool. I'll never forget. It made killing seem cool. Now, was it the only factor going on in his life? No. He'd been rejected by a girlfriend, didn't really bond well with his father, even though he watched this movie with his father, dabbled in drugs. There were several other factors going on, but a significant factor in his life was his entertainment choices that spurred him on, that influenced him, that motivated him. In fact, he played a certain gangster rap song the night before he went into his high school on continual replay. You know how you can do that? You can set it so it can play a song over and over and over again. So as he was falling asleep, while he was asleep, so that when he woke up the next morning, this continual, very, very violent gangster rap song was on. He was trying to hype himself up. He wanted some help to do what he thought he had to do, almost like it was a calling. How dark a calling, but he felt, I need to go do this, and I'm going to put this song on to help me go do this.
Wow, that's incredible.
It was.
And so he's saying, obviously, it did have an impact, an incredible impact. I would say that, at least for me, and I know I'm speaking for so many of our listeners, they want their kids to grow up with a biblical worldview. And we've been talking about media and creating a media safe home. How do we help our kids, you know, create this biblical worldview in the midst of a culture like the kind of culture we're talking about?
Well, Jim, this answer may seem a little simplistic, but I'll give you some context for it. A few years ago, we had a volunteer in our department who she was doing some filing and just some basic clerical things. And in the process, her eyes became open as to what our department was about. She knew focus, but she didn't know plugged in. And she said, would you talk to my son? Because he has some really dark music choices. And we're not counselors, but we're happy to help where we can. And so a colleague of mine met this individual. I'll call him Brandon. And I was about to chew him out, really, is what I was going to do for his musical choices. And I asked him about him, and he told me what his favorite bands were. And Mom was exactly right. Knowing music like I do, right, his choices were definitely insignificant. And just as I was about to chew him out for those choices, and in some way I was going to try politely chew out, I guess, maybe. I don't know if the Lord, I don't want to say he spoke to me, because that's, but I felt impressed to go a different route, which was very unique, because I thought I knew where I was going with this. And I asked him this question. I said, Brandon, let me ask this. Obviously, your music choices are dark, and they're disappointing to your mom. But do you get up every morning, and do you face the day saying, Lord, I just want to please you, and I want to honor you, and what can I do to make a difference in this world for you today? And Brandon looked at me, and his answer was something like, and I don't remember exact words, but it was something like, not even close. And I said, well, Brandon, you know, your mom, you know why you're here. Your mom sent you here because we're talk about your inappropriate choices. But you know what? If you changed today and all of a sudden you were listening to just Christian music, but you didn't get that other issue that I talked about, that you didn't feel a purpose in Christ, that you weren't passionate and radical about your faith and wanting to make a difference and love the Lord with all your heart, it really wouldn't make a difference. So to answer the question, it seems simplistic, but if we can help encourage our kids to really be more grounded in their faith, i.e., go on a summer mission trip. I love Christian camping and camping programs. As a former youth pastor, it amazed me. A kid at a week at camp would come back and seemed, oh, I didn't know that Jesus really cared and loved me. And I'm like, what have I been doing for a full year? I've been teaching that same message, and they got it at camp. But all those types of things to fire our kids up for the Lord and for right. Christian service, then all of a sudden, if they've got that, it's a lot easier to say, and by the way, he cares about your media choices. It's like, oh, really? This is one other area that God cares about? I didn't think right. about it. Well, I really want to honor him. Let me think about that.
That's
so
great.
It seems simplistic, but we really have to go back to the roots of right. our faith to make even media make sense to our kids.
Absolutely. Bob, fabulous. Thank you for being the amazing person you are. Thank you for just the great job that you do, and we appreciate you so much.
And that concludes Dr. Jim Burns' two-part conversation with Bob Waliszewski from Focus on the Family's Plugged In Online and Plugged In Magazine. He's an author, he's a youth culture expert, and we've been talking about tips for creating a media-safe home. If you missed any part of today's program, by the way, remember, we are always streaming audio at homeward.com. We archive these programs for our daily half hour, our weekly half hour, our weekly full hour, and our 60-second short feature. You can also podcast our daily program as well. You can set that up just by going to homeward.com, hit the radio broadcast tab. Once you're there, hit the podcast button. It'll take you right to our site on iTunes. All the streaming, all the archiving, all the podcasting, all free from homeward.com.
Roger, I've been working with kids for, you know, now more than 30 years, parents for these years, and I have never seen families dealing with the kinds of pressure that they are now in this area. And so that's why it's so important. It's getting tougher, I think, and I don't want to sound all negative, but it really is getting tougher for kids to learn to make the right and the wise decisions regarding how they use media. And I believe that one of the biggest reasons, it's because of the internet. You've heard me say it over and over again. It's the thing that's going to either take us down or it's going to help us like crazy. And we have to be, as parents, very proactive in it. I mean, it is just massive and it has a powerful influence over kids. It can affect the way they look and it can affect the way they act. And it really shapes even the way they think. And that's important for us as parents to kind of almost get inside the minds of kids. To do that, we've got to kind of cruise the internet ourselves at times. And, you know, you're seeing some of the negative stuff. I just saw it here in Orange County where we're at. You know, somebody was taking pictures of water polo and swimmers in their Speedos, and they put them on gay porn sites because, I don't know if you followed this, it was just in the news, you know, a month or so ago, but it was amazing that they took these pictures innocently, and then now they put them on these sites, and parents are just up in arms, and they should be. Parents have to learn that, you know, it's a scary place out there. My daughters were in Mexico with us, and people were taking pictures, and they started to hide. I said, well, why did you do that? They said, well, because what they do is they take pictures of pretty girls. My girls are pretty.
Right.
And not that they said that. And then they put a naked body underneath it, and the kid's reputation is
instant
ruined.
Porn,
it's
like
an
that.
Unbelievable, weird world.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's why everyone who listens to Homeward on a regular basis, I think, has got to start to make internet safety a priority in their home. Create a media safe home.
Absolutely. We can't ignore it, obviously. I know a couple of people too. There's a woman in my world, actually, who's a good friend of mine, who's a high school teacher, who still refers to Facebook as a fad. When one out of seven people on the planet are using something, I think it's more than just a fad. Social media is here to stay. And the good news, though, is that we can keep up with it. As a matter of fact, it's actually beneficial in many areas of parenting and grandparenting. If you're a grandparent, you may find that text messaging or Instagram or whatever is a great way to connect with your grandkids. So be proactive. Create that media safe home. Go to homeward.com, hit the articles and media section, and you'll find articles, tip sheets, video clips, and more, all designed to help you have a safe and meaningful media experience, whether it's on the internet or any other form of social media. Again, you'll find those free resources available at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents and grandparents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.